And joining me now is Congressman Don Manzullo. Welcome. Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Doing well. Now, you're a congressman for Northwest Suburbs into Rockford area, is that right?
Right. We run from, we have most of McHenry County, with the exception of the northeast corner, which is in Mrs. Bean's district, and we go all the way to the Mississippi across the top of the state.
All right. So, Al Gore says both cap and trade and carbon tax. Where do you come down?
Well, neither of those. The theory is that it's based upon acceptance of the fact that there is global warming, and even without getting into whether or not global warming exists, we all start with the basic assumption that there is global pollution, and we have to do everything we can, reasonably necessary, in order to stop that global pollution, whether it be in the air, which is global warming, in the waters, or in the land. And so this is really a policy debate, not between people who don't like the environment, which are people who are accused of being opposed to cap and trade, and people who like the environment. And the whole theory of it, Jerry, is the fact that there would be a cap or a government limit on carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuel use. And the effect of a cap would be to impose a rationing of coal, oil, and natural gas on the American economy. And, of course, that hurts American manufacturing more than anything, and that's why the Midwest would be impacted greater than any other area, including Hollywood, which is where the people who chair the Commerce Committee come from.
All right, so what would happen, I want to make sure I understand this, if you put in a cap and trade, there's a cap on how much emission, say, factory A can put out, but if factory B is putting out half that amount, they can trade off their excess under the limit.
Well, they can't trade with each other.
No.
The credits are auctioned. And if you are emitting more than that limit set by the government, then you have to buy those credits on the open market. And, of course, the tighter the cap, the more expensive those credits, and the more expensive those credits, that could simply knock manufacturers out of business. That's the big problem. I mean, it covers a coal, oil, and natural gas in America, and you have states such as Missouri that are 85%, they get 85% of their energy from coal. Indiana, 94%. Illinois, fortunately, we have 50% nuclear, but still, it's the government that imposes these arbitrary caps on each covered utility, oil company, and manufacturing facility, and the government determines what those allowances are. You know, how do you find out what your allowances are? You're supposed to go on this chart. And it says, well, based upon your past emissions or some other formula drawn by Washington bureaucrats, you could only emit so much. And Jerry, this is not just smokestacks. This is carbon dioxide that comes out of a building based upon heat escaping through the windows or through the bricks.
Well, I'm talking to Congressman Don Manzullo, Illinois Congressman Don Manzullo, about the concept of cap and trade and carbon taxes. So would they take that all the way down to policing, say, the big buildings here in downtown Chicago, or would it go all the way down to houses, schools?
Well, it could. Under the cap and trade bill, at least it's 900 pages. It was just marked up yesterday, and I was having a chance to read it. Any emission under 25,000 tons is exempt from the cap and trade bill. Now, that's most homes. That's about a several story apartment building would be exempt. However, the EPA now has the authority given to it by the Supreme Court, which the EPA just exercised about 6 weeks ago, to come in. And those areas that are exempt under the cap and trade may have to qualify under EPA on their emission standards on CO2.
Now, would this actually reduce the amount of pollution in the air, as you put it earlier, or is this a way for the government to just tax businesses?
Well, no, the goal is to reduce the amount of pollutants in the air. That's by saying that if you have X amount nationwide, then everybody has to come under X amount, and if you emit, buy, or trade, you know, from a, or you can trade on the open market to get credits to bring so that you are in compliance. If you run out of credit, then you're done, and then your company may have to shut down because you simply cannot be in compliance. So it's a very scary proposition. If it's similar to the one in Europe, which it is, Europe's big problem is that you have facilities. For example, there's a fastener facility we know of in Spain. Make screws, nuts, bolts, things that latch, hook, lock, etc. With the latest in environmental efficiency, but they are in a very difficult position because right across the Straits of Gibraltar, Morocco, Tunisia, the countries in northern Africa, and in the old Europe, as we know, the Ukraine, are exempt from the cap and trade rule.
So then we're going to put
a make whatever they want, and they can ship in the exports and knock out the local manufacturers.
And then the complaint that so many people have of American jobs going overseas would increase under a cap and trade proposition.
If you think there was a giant sucking sound on NAFTA, you're going to find companies that are going to be going across the border to Mexico and set up there because they don't have to get involved in the cap and trade system. And Jerry, what's remarkable is that in the past years in this country, even without a cap and trade system, we have actually reduced our greenhouse gases. This in the past 7 years, from 2000-2007, from 6.29 million metric tons to 6.09 million metric tons. That's without a cap and trade system. That means we're going in the right direction, even without the government getting involved in it, because when manufacturers make a commitment to be more productive, which they all do, otherwise they stay out of business, they want to make things that are leaner, faster, use less energy, and put out a product at a cheaper, more competitive price. Manufacturers are already involved in doing that.
But we're told, Congressman, by Al Gore, who testifies, it seems, fairly regularly in front of Congress, and I think a lot of people are listening to him positively, that Europe, in fact, is a model for cap-and-trade, that it's a positive thing.
Then you got to look at a government accountability study. That's government accountability organization, which is part of the federal government, that took a good look at what's going on in Europe. And they say what's called, if you want to call it the first phase, the Europeans are not calling it the first phase because it's not working what they thought it would be. It's simply not working because it's so complicated. And what it does is it raises the cost of energy, raises the cost of electricity, which is what the President Obama said when he was campaigning, that the typical household in this country, four people, will be paying anywhere between $700 and $3,000 more per year in increased energy costs. And the cost of manufacturing goes up.
Which will come down to the consumer eventually, or the company will cease to exist.
Yeah, absolutely. The consumer loses two ways. The consumer has to pay more for his gas and electric and nuclear power because everything goes up. And the consumer has to pay more by buying domestic-made products because the cost to make those products has gone up dramatically because the cost of energy has gone up dramatically.
Talking to Illinois Congressman Don Manzullo here on WGN, how much enthusiasm is there in Washington for either a carbon tax or a cap-and-trade?
Well, enough enthusiasm that it passed the Commerce Committee on Friday. That's the committee that has jurisdiction over it. It passed along party lines. And the Henry Waxman, who is the chairman of the committee, says that there are enough votes for it to pass the House. So this thing could become law. And I want to tell you, Jerry, that's all we need is for manufacturing to take more hits.
Yeah.
We just, you know, I spent about three-fourths of my time working on manufacturing issues because McHenry County, about one out of five jobs, one out of five people who work in McHenry County work in manufacturing. Winnebago County and Boone, it's one out of four, if not even more. We probably have over 2,500 factories spread throughout that 16th congressional district that are going to be impacted. And it's also schools, colleges, helicopters, trucks, I mean,
well, the schools and colleges aren't going to go anywhere, and there would just be raised costs, et cetera, as you've pointed out. But there's no question that a lot of that industry would just leave.
Well, there's even talk about going home to home and doing a seepage audit and saying that if your home is seeping too much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, then the homeowner, you know, will he be ordered to put in new windows? We're not sure. But there are some good things that are going on. For example, we all know that if you put
Well, I'll tell you what, Congressman, I have to take a break here. Can you hang on and you give us the good news coming up?
Yes.
All right. I appreciate it. Illinois Congressman Don Manzullo, 312-591-7200. I'm Jerry Yegar. This is News Talk 720 WGN. Hey, good morning. I'm Jerry Yegar. We're talking about energy and the possibility of a cap-and-trade proposition or a direct carbon tax placed on businesses and therefore, inevitably, you, the consumer. And Congressman Don Manzullo came out very much against this idea over the course of the week. And, Congressman, good of you to spend time with us here on a Saturday morning.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, you said there's some good news just before I broke.
There are a couple laws that are on the books. For example, if you put in new windows that meet the Energy Star performance, you can get a direct tax credit of $1,500. And also, if you put in one of those tankless hot water gas heaters, you can get a tax credit up to that amount. But what's interesting is that is the very standard that the Republicans have in our alternative. And otherwise, you incentivize renewable technologies by making products for the consumers and for the manufacturers cheaper through targeted tax credits. So that way you reward innovations in technology and reduce regulatory burdens at the same time. And so there's another way that we can get a whack at this problem. Because everybody believes that the less things that we emit into the atmosphere, call them what you want, is better for the environment, and so that's an alternative way to do it. I mean, you have cases, Jerry, where the people with helicopters are terrified of people that run the police helicopters and ambulance helicopters. They would be covered by this by this bill, and then you would have to have municipalities bidding on the open market for credits in order to keep their safety helicopters in the air.
Medical helicopters?
That's how pervasive this legislation is, yes.
Medical helicopters and that sort of thing?
That's correct.
Oh, okay, so just to be clear before I wrap up with you, you're not against the idea of trying to cut back on the emissions coming out of factories, coming out of homes, having people be more energy efficient. You just don't think cap and trade is the way to do it.
That's correct.
It's going to load too much cost on us. And you're exactly right, I think, when you say that people need to understand that factories are always looking for the most efficient way of doing things. Now, the most efficient way of doing something might be to just dump a lot of pollution, and there's no question that's happened in the past.
Well, but fortunately, we do have good EPA laws that stop that. It's regulation is always a matter of reasonableness and ability to manufacture competitively at the same time. We struggle with that on a daily basis, but that struggle is okay.
Yeah.
At least you can monitor it case by case, and if there's a grievance, if there's a problem, you can try to work with the agency either to get a waiver or something. But cap and trade is you have to go out and buy that credit, and that could be impossible, therefore shut down the industry.
All right. Congressman Don Manzullo, good to talk to you this morning.
Thank you so much. Same here. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks for doing it.